Good morning. Are you able? Back when I was in the developmental class downstairs on Wednesday nights in high school, we used to make these Bible character profile sheets. This was something that Dad would do during class. And I enjoyed these. I thought it was interesting. And one person I wanted to do a study on was Abel. I later came to find that he actually just took these Bible profile sheets from Grandpa Vern, and who knows, he might have took it from somebody else. But I enjoyed doing these Bible character profile sheets because I got to do an in-depth study on one individual. And how did I choose Abel? How did I choose Abel? It didn't hit me until this morning on the drive-in. I'm like, why did I come up with this topic? And then it hit me on the way here that it was actually from a card that Grandma Norlee sent me a few weeks ago. We were sick, me and Kaylee, and we missed church Wednesday night because we were too sick to come. And as Grandma's cards are, you never know what you're going to get. And in this card, she wrote about children's class that day. She said that Shay and Gab were having a competition to see who could raise their hand the most, and they were getting grumpy at each other, and she wrote that if looks could kill, Shay would be dead right now. Which got me, I guess subliminally got me thinking about Cain and Abel. Now, who was Abel? If you're like me, you probably would just write off like, he was the brother that Cain killed because he was jealous of his sacrifice. But doing a little bit more digging, there were a few things that I found interesting that I wanted to share with you this morning. But before we get into the story of Cain and Abel, I want to set the stage. If you want to follow along in your own Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 3. We'll start in verse 16. So Adam and Eve had just sinned. They had partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and God is about to give them their punishment. To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and to take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So who was Abel? That's where we get to in chapter 4. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground, Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So in the start of chapter 4, Eve is experiencing her first form of punishment, the pain of childbirth. She names her first child Cain, and the second documented child is Abel, named Abel. Cain means to acquire or possess something. Abel means to be empty, often translated as vain or vanity in the sense of being empty of substance. Cain is a possessor, one who has substance, while Abel is empty of substance. Now, this may seem backwards to us because we know Abel as the good guy and Cain the bad. But if you think back to it, the firstborns throughout Jewish history were favored. Perhaps this was the beginning of it. If you go simply off the meanings of their names, Cain clearly would have been the favored child. After all, Cain worked the soil, the punishment set forth for Adam. While Adam and Cain worked the fields, worked the ground, perhaps side by side, Abel was off with the flocks, which being a shepherd is normally a hard job. You're fighting off lions and wolves, trying to defend the sheep. But at this time, and this is my speculation based off of Genesis 1:30 and Genesis 9:1-3, perhaps it wouldn't have been that hard of a job because the animals lived in harmony. So two brothers, one working the fields, the ground, and one working with the flock. And off to the east side of the Garden of Eden, there's this cherubim and a flaming sword swinging back and forth day and night protecting it. I like to picture Abel off tending the sheep, being in awe of that angel protecting the garden. Seeing the beauty of God's creation going throughout the hillside, as we're told in Romans 1:20. Raising the sheep, knowing that these animals are helpless. They just follow you. They go where you are. And what's the purpose of them? You can't even eat them at this point. That he's putting in an effort later because he is going to give back these sheep, these lands to God because of the sins of his parents, because of his sins that he might have. So at some point, Cain and Abel brought an offering to God. And how would they know what that looks like? In Genesis 3, after the fall of mankind, after his parents had sinned, God made garments of skin to clothe them. Now, perhaps God made this garment of nothing, and I don't want to discredit the power of God. I think that's entirely possible, and I will not argue with you at all if that's your belief. But I think it would make sense that God showed them for the first time what death looked like. What fear would that cause them to know the severity of the sin that they had just committed? To see death for the first time. That because of their sin and this is going to happen. That it will require an innocent life as a means of sacrifice to clothe them for their evil doings. But is it really the item that was sacrificed that was important to God? If you asked me before I wrote this talk, I would have said, you know, I think a good part of the reason God didn't accept Cain's sacrifice for Abel's was because of the item that they sacrificed. But the more research that I did, I think I might have been a little bit wrong in that kind of thinking. When we think of sacrifices, we often think of the temple and how people would bring their animals to sacrifice. But what I didn't realize was there was an example in Leviticus 6 where Aaron's sons are commanded to bring a burnt offering of the finest flour and some olive oil together with the incense as a grain offering, as a burnt grain offering. And it said that the burnt grain offering was pleasing to the Lord. So if God could be pleased of something that came from the ground, why was Abel's sacrifice more acceptable than Cain's? To answer that, we have to turn to the New Testament. In Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Faith is the answer of why Abel's was accepted, but Cain's was not. So Cain becomes jealous. Cain knows of his anger. He's told of his anger by God. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. And what does Cain do? He gives in. He opens that door and murders his own brother. The Bible doesn't specifically say it here, but I'm under the impression that Abel saw Cain's anger, the jealousy that Cain had in his eyes, and he tried to correct them. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. In Luke 11:50-51, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the experts of the law. He says, therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. So Jesus is referring to Abel as a prophet here. Abel quite likely acted like many other prophets, urging his fellow men to repent of their sins. Presumably, Abel acted in such a role toward his family, because that's all that there was at the time, and perhaps his primary focus might have been his own brother Cain. Yet, to no avail. When God confronts Cain about murdering Abel, he said, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And in Hebrews 11:4, it was reiterated that Abel's act of faith lives on even though he died. A lot of times we reflect on the bad instead of the good. Although today's lesson is on a tragedy, a sad story, I wanted to focus a bit on the great example of faith that we learn from through Cain or through Abel. As was read in Hebrews 12 today, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant and the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Abel was slain by his own brother, Jesus by his own people. Abel's blood cried for vengeance. Christ's blood cried for peace and pardon. Abel's sacrifice was acceptable, but the sacrifice of Jesus was perfect. So what is the takeaway of today's lesson? I want to sum it up with two passages. First, Matthew 5:23 tells us that if we have an issue with a brother or sister, that we cannot even come to God unless we leave our gift at the altar and restore them. If you have an issue with a family member, or even more so your brother and sister in Christ, go to them, talk to them. That word go to them literally means go to them. Do not wait for it.
Keely pointed to him.
Go to them. Don't wait for a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or some other church service to talk to them. Go to their house. Go to them and talk to them and restore them in a manner of peace. I want to leave you with this. 1 John 3:10-18. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brother. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If you have not accepted God and the sacrifice that he's given for you, why not? Today is the day to make it right. If you have a brother that has sinned against you, why not go to them today and restore them before it's too late? If you have anything that you need to make known before the church, please come forward now as we stand and sing.